When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thirsty for some pro wrestler punditry, because we got some to slam down your ear holes here today. It is me, your managing editor of Wrestling Inc., Nick Hausman, back with another episode of The Winkly, and I am joined here just about as I am just about every Thursday by my good friend Justin Labar. Justin, welcome back to The Winkly.
Good to be back.
Yes, we got a lot to get to here today, and after the news, we got a couple big pieces of audio for you as well. First thing, right after the news, you're going to hear my interview with none other than Ross and Marshall Von Erich, the sons of Kevin Von Erich, featured in, of course, the Dark Side of the Ring episode, The Last of the Von Erichs, my favorite episode of that whole series. But, of course, you can also find them now every Saturday night over on BN as part of MLW. They just made their Dallas debut alongside their dad at War Chamber about a month ago for MLW. Very cool time for them. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. This, like I was telling Justin off the air, I like this interview a lot because, you know, I interview people. They're always in kind of interesting locations. I've never interviewed someone or two people who were sitting on the side of a hill in Hawaii farming sheep. They were shepherding. They were sheep shepherds while I was doing this interview. That's pretty unique.
Well, I guess now's a time to tell you that for the first couple months we did this show together, The Winkly, I was also sheep farming.
Man, this is pretty common. I didn't know how common sheep farming was. And they said they were sheep farmers, and I didn't correct them, but I'm pretty sure that's a shepherd, isn't it?
Yeah. Tomato, tomato.
I'll bring it up next time. But it's a very fun interview. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. And of course, right after the Von Erichs, we'll have one more interview here for you today. Our good friend Scott Fishman, he sat down with Vampiro, WCW's Vampiro, Triple A's Vampiro. So it'll be a great interview chatting with Vampiro and the Von Erichs here later on in the show. But right now, let's get to it here. News you can use, news that'll leave a bruise. We're going to start off with what happened coming out of the big shows last night, AEW, NXT. First of all, before we get to any of the results here, we'll start with AEW since, I had to pick one or the other because my girlfriend's sick and she's sitting on the couch. I'm not going to flip back and forth. It's not as much fun for her. So we just watched really AEW last night. I watched NXT this morning. But I almost didn't get to watch AEW on time last night, Justin, because apparently Dynamite was nearly interrupted by Major League Baseball. Last night's Major League Baseball National League Division Series game between the Braves and the Cardinals, that started at 5:02. The other game between the Dodgers and the Nationals, that started at 8:37. And if the Cardinals and Braves game ran later than 8:37, that means that the game would have to be moved to TNT, which would have preempted Dynamite. I mean, it was unlikely that the game, I guess, is going to go longer than 3.5 hours, but that's possible. It's baseball. Multiple innings. This is the playoffs here. But fortunately, the game ended on time. AEW did air live on both TNT and True TV. They were going to do a live stream on True TV regardless. So if you weren't getting it in full on TNT, you could go over to True TV, which was a different channel. I had to find the channel number for. But lo and behold, it did air on time, started right on time. But because it's on two channels here for this night, good problem in the end. It looks like they could have an increased potential audience here for this week since they ran simultaneously on two different channels. So before we get into the results of any of this stuff, Justin, that's got to be a huge stress on you. This is your second week trying to get into this. I can only imagine what kind of I think it would have been a setback there for them had this show not started on time on TNT the second weekend.
Yeah, it would have. If you would have had people turn into TNT and not seen the show, that would have been very confusing. So, yeah, I mean, good for them that didn't happen. And, there's going to be other times where I'm going to be interested to see how TNT sports coverage comes into play. You know, the World Series.
Yeah.
Or not the Rumble. I'm sorry, that's for SmackDown. Actually, that's SmackDown and Fox. Never mind. That's right. That's Fox and SmackDown. I have all these networks and sports, and where do they go?
Sure.
But yeah, I've been here, right here. You know, like you know, with baseball, and you know, I don't know if the NBA playoffs will ever come into effect. Obviously, we'll have to wait until we get around to that point in the calendar. But yeah, I mean, these are all things that have to factor in. It is good though when you're working when you're on a family like Turner, you know, like you said, they have True TV as an option. They can move them around if they can foresee a problem. But again, didn't happen. Nothing to worry about. But yeah, if it had happened, that would have been for week two. Not what you want.
Stressful, man. Stressful. That's what I read. I read that and I was like, ooh, that's no good. But the show was started off very, very hot last night. Opening match was in the tag title tournament. Private Party beat the Young Bucks. I thought this was a really fun match. I thought the crowd was very, very into it. I was happy that the Bucks put over Private Party. That's how you make new talent. That's what they need to be doing right now. And I was really happy to see that's the direction they went with these two teams, you know?
Yeah, this was a surprise. This was an upset. Certainly, as you're making your predictions for the tag team tournament bracket. But you're right. They put over... certainly helped make Private Party. You know, the Bucks are no lesser of competitors, no lesser popular. You know, so they did not need the win. It was a great kind of set the tone for the night. You know, great action. The crowd was really into it. And an unpredictable finish.
We also had Chris Jericho in the first 45 minutes. He came out, cut a fiery promo, announced that his new group is called the Inner Circle. Him, Santana, Ortiz, Sammy Guevara, Jake Hager, and when he announced Jake Hager's name, the crowd started chanting, "We the People," which elicited the following response from Jericho towards the fan. He said, "We the People sucks, and it's dead and buried. It was a stupid idea from bad creative, and all of that's gone." Now, before we get into the other things he said here, do you think that it's good that he's as direct as he is at burying WWE's creative at the moment?
Well, certainly... Those are the kind of things that get the fans rallied. You know, it gets a scene, you know, a guy who used to be one of the top main eventers for WWE, you know, saying their creative sucks,
right, yes.
You know, on live TV. You know, I mean, obviously this was not, you know, this was an ad lib part. You can tell he was trying to put over Jake Hager, and he started to say, you know, how tough of an MMA guy he is. And then he stopped because he realized he wasn't, you know, the fans were determined to do the We the People chant. You know, and then he ad-libbed, he detoured, he flipped it on him, and he rallied everybody and he had cut fire. And this is, this is one of the best promos you can ask to have. I mean, he goes out there, instantly makes all these guys that are surrounding him seem more important by his introduction of each of them. He uses his, the list, now is using it in a different context, as if you're on the list, that's a good thing. I mean, you're part of his inner circle. You know, takes a shot at the competition, rallies the fans and gets them going crazy, then continues to put over AEW business, putting, you know, selling the story and match coming with he and Cody. I mean, this was just, from all those contexts, one of the best promos ever.
Yeah, I thought so too. And you know, there were people I trust that hit me up and they were like, "I don't know, this felt weird to me, a little forced." I saw some complaints. Man, I'm with you. I thought this was very well done. I think that right now, if you are ignoring the elephant in the room, that the fans are clamoring for some of that Attitude Era spice. They want to see a little bit of a competitive rivalry there with little drops here and there. The one who gets to that first, the one who embraces that fully, which it looks to be AEW, I think they're going to get the momentum here. I think it is wrong to try to ignore what the fans are wanting right now out of this period of time.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, NXT seems like they kind of want to, you know, I mean, it's only been 2 weeks, mind you, they've been head-to-head, but, you know, it seems like NXT kind of wants to keep their head down and just, you know, put on the best show they can put on.
Sure.
But you're right. Right now, you know, especially right now, because it's all fresh and new. You know, maybe it's different when it's a year old, but right now it's fresh and new. The fan, exactly. And I'm not saying NXT needs to go out there and find every chance they can to make a reference or a shot at AEW, but, I mean, you got to do more than just try to overrun by 10 minutes. You got to do some things that are letting you know, hey, we're here too.
Yeah, you've already acknowledged your competition. You put out a press release, right?
Exactly. You know? Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, WWE's playing so. Yeah, it's almost like they're playing very nice about this. I mean, what you know, like when did they ever set up? You know, AEW, when did they ever send a press release about WCW beating them? Like, what, you know, like, what are you doing? Like,
it's all,
you know,
so different.
I don't know. This is odd.
It's all so different now, man. I wonder if it's just, I mean, is it stockholders? Is it just the mood has changed? Is it 20 years later? And it's like, we can't go out there and be degenerates and act like that, or else we run the risk of hurting the stock by showing that we've gone backwards to the lowest common denominator.
Well, you know what? If their numbers, again, it's only very early on, but as the months go on, if the numbers appear to be down, and I'm not just saying on Wednesday nights, I'm saying across the board, and it's at all deemed to, hey, look, wrestling fans are getting their craving of pro wrestling elsewhere. Stockholders might be asking for a little degenerate humor to to get that dollar back up.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so weird now how that's a fact. There's so many different factors a part of this era that just weren't a part of the last one, and that's definitely one of them, the stockholders. But yeah, you noted how he put over each of his stable mates, said they were on the list. He said he was going to beat the ever-loving shit out of Cody at Full Gear, dropping the S-word on live national television. My word, Justin. Wow. I thought it was great. It was very well done. This is what they got to be doing. They're the TV-14 product. I think of TV-14, I think you could say it one time, and he got it. So there you go. Cool.
I think Jim Ross said it again, too, and flicking back and forth. I think I missed that, but I think I read on Twitter that he had said it. But, well, not only the TV-14, but you know, there's also the fact that they're on TNT. That's different. There's different I think there's different standards that TNT can have versus what a USA can have. You know, TNT, it's so, you know, whatever.
I don't know. I thought it was cool, though. Whole promo, great. Home run. I agree with you. An all-time great. I mean, then lastly, the last big news coming out of this was the follow-up. They had the number one contenders match between Darby Allin and Jimmy Havoc. Darby Allin won. He's going to go on and face Jericho next week for the title. The winner of that will go on and take on Cody at Full Gear. My only criticism of Dynamite this week, and this was honestly the first time I've really watched AEW like on TV because I've been at all of the AEW events, was after that first 45, it did start to plateau a little bit for me until the last match. I thought the women were really good. I thought Sakura was great. But there was something about it where I felt like that middle 50 minutes there before the main event, it started to get a little flat. And this Darby Allin Jimmy Havoc match, like, Darby and Jimmy are great. I've seen them both have great matches. I don't know that the chemistry was really there. And Darby's, whatever that suplex spot they were doing to the outside, I felt that for Darby Allin. That looked brutal the way he fell to the ground.
Yeah, I mean, and I think Darby was the right person to win this. You know, it was nice to see those two be able to put on an entertaining match, but not have to, use death match antics and weapons. But you're right, still physical. I mean, the pace of the show. I mean, yeah, there was a somewhat of a slowdown, but I think, look, I mean, they started off so hot with that, with you know, and mind you, that opening tag team match, for as hot as it was, and it was like a 20 plus minute match, I think.
Yeah.
They didn't go to commercial at all during it. That's a big thing you got to look at, especially when you're comparing to NXT. They did not cut to commercial during that match. So you got the opening 20 plus minutes uninterrupted. It was, it was high spots and finishes and everything all over the place before
you wanted,
a roll-up.
You wanted to be there, man. Like, that felt like a party. So, like, I was like, damn, I want to be there right now with these guys.
Right, so you got that, and then you got the fiery promo with Jericho. I mean, you know, so they started out going 110 miles per hour, so you eventually have to slow up for a second.
Yeah.
So I think that's what kind of have to attribute that middle slowdown portion to.
I guess you're right. Yeah, that first 45 was very, very hot. Everything about it I thought was just very, very good. And yeah, let's talk a little bit about NXT. I watched NXT this morning. Leo Rush, he kicked off the show by becoming the new NXT Cruiserweight Champion. He defeated Drew Gulak. Really hot opener. I thought it was really good. This is exactly what I thought it was going to be, Justin, especially now that I'm like in a position to sit and watch the televised product. NXT just feels so low energy. I mean, the in-ring product, I don't know if it's better, comparable to AEW, but the in-ring product in NXT is freaking phenomenal. It's great. You know, it just feels smaller. It feels low energy. It feels dark. And when I watch it, it just doesn't grab me like that party atmosphere of AEW, which I guess is a different complaint based off what I started talking about, which is that Leo's the new NXT champion, great for him, or NXT Cruiserweight champion, great for him. But that was really kind of what I was taking away from those first 20 minutes of the show, you know?
Yeah, you know, people had speculated this might happen weeks leading into this, and I kind of dismissed it, and then I really couldn't I really couldn't experience it last week, you know, because I was, when I was hosting the viewing party, I was watching both live, and you know, I had people around me, so I was in a party atmosphere. But I will agree, having, you know, sitting by myself in the man cave last night and watching them side by side, you're right. The match was great with Leo, Drew, and God, you put that match side by side with the tag team match. I mean, that's some of the best simultaneous wrestling we've ever seen on television ever.
100%.
But you, I will admit, I got some of that sense of like, man, you got, if, I don't know what the official attendance number is, but it was at least 5,000 people. You got 4,000 to 5,000 people going nuts in Boston for this crazy tag team match. And then you got Drew and Leo who are working, and the NXT crowd is always passionate. They'll cheer for anything, basically. But yeah, it's only a couple hundred people, and that's, and so when you're flicking between the two, there was a noticeable difference.
It's very Japanese. You know? It is very. I mean, like, and I know you said they're very passionate at parts of it. Like the crowd is almost like conditioned and trained to know when they're picking up and going into their finish and all that stuff. But a lot of times, I feel like they're as respectful, just kind of like sitting there taking it in of what is going on with the athletes. Not that they're not enjoying it, because like, you know, Rhea Ripley, I thought her bout with Aaliyah, I think it was that was the best I've ever seen Rhea Ripley look. I was very impressed by her calling out Shayna Baszler. I'm on the hook for that. But man, people watching Rhea, they were just like taking it in, you know. I don't know. It was very weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not advocating because here's the thing. If NXT is going to, I mean, I think NXT is going to be a little bit more fire in terms of their pacing and their story, and even the match. I mean, I can make the argument that Leo and Drew maybe went a little bit long. I don't know, because the opposite is not the answer. The opposite of taking NXT on the road like they do Raw and SmackDown, that is not the answer, because I just don't. I think you have a lot better of a chance to keep the crowd engaged, and even if half that crowd is the same people that show up every week, that's fine. It worked for ECW for many years. I think you're better off with that, knowing the crowd you're going to get. That's going to be, as you said, even trained. It's almost like they're extras. They're cast members here. You're better off on that than trying to take it on the road and getting 5,000 people who are maybe only showing up to see just one star, and they're not really into who Rhea Ripley is or what have you. So this is still a better situation for NXT, I think, right now, at least until NXT ever morphs and evolves into having, you know, Roman Reigns and such on there, if that ever happens. But I think right now, the way they are, they're better off in Full Sail. But you're right, there's a glaring imbalance when you watch. Even just shut your eyes, just flick between the two channels and shut your eyes and just hear the sound difference. You're right, that could be a problem in the long term.
And I guess I have to like just disagree. I don't know that they need to get out of Full Sail like for every show, but they got to get out more. They got to show that they can draw and create that similar kind of energy. And if you're not going to do that, at least, like I said, be more confrontational. Give us the stuff that fans of the Attitude Era are yearning for, right? If you're going to do, okay, we're going to take the gamble on doing a show in the same arena for a couple hundred fans with a higher end product, okay. But if you're going to do that, you got to have a hook that's going to one-up your competition there. And I think just go right at them. The game is being played right now. You know, I would definitely be doing something to grab attention, because honestly, you know, I know we got the 10-minute overrun here at the end. I'm sure they got a little spike for that. Walter, Kushida, how can you complain about that? Two of the best in the world right now. Walter beat him, Kushida, by the way, ended his undefeated run. But, man, you know, from beginning to end here, you know, my prediction this week was I thought both shows, NXT and AEW, were going to see an increase. After watching last night. I do think AEW will see a pop. I think that AEW will genuinely see a higher number of viewers. I don't think that's going to be the case for NXT this week. I think the disparity will get larger. I really do.
Nah, you see, I disagree. My prediction before last night, and it still stands, and I guess we'll get the numbers here hopefully later today, is I think both are going to see a drop from what they had last week. Last week, it's first week, you know. So I think AEW is going to see not a big drop necessarily, but I think AEW is going to have less than the 1.4 they had. Now, I mean,
I don't know, man.
I don't know. I think it's going to be less than 1.4. You know, maybe it's 1.3, 1.2, but I think it's going to be less. And I think, unfortunately for NXT, I think they're going to have less, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think with AEW, I mean, the buzz after last week, the press releases about how they beat NXT, if you're on the fence and you didn't really know about this or heard about it and you see something like that, you're like, oh, man, I missed something. I'm going to check it out. The AEW chance at the Hell in a Cell, the press release from WWE. I mean, these guys got nonstop publicity for a week straight coming out of that last show. I have to believe, especially like we said, if you're tuning in, right, and you're tuning in to see this product that maybe you missed out on, or you've heard some buzz about, and you saw that private party, Young Bucks thing, and you stuck around for that, and then right after that, Jericho's there, boom. I think that at least that first hour, you're going to see a pop. I don't know, man. If not, what does all this momentum and promotion mean if nobody's seeing bigger ratings for it?
Well, I mean, I think they'll get back and they'll get above 1.4. I think it's just going to be a case of, like, you know, it's going to take ebb and flow of the story. It's going to, you know, they're going to build, they'll build to the next pay-per-view with full gear. And then, you know, they're going to go up. It's going to go up and down. I just think week two is always a drop in everything. That's kind of like across the board, yeah. You know, sitcoms, they, you know, almost everything. Week two is always, will see a little bit of a drop usually with anything.
So you would be very impressed if they had a rise in viewership for this week.
I would be, honestly. Okay. You know?
All right. Well, I'm very interested now. Now I'm interested. Now I want to know. My gut says they do more. I just think there was a lot of buzz this past week, and I think that they look good. And if you were on the fence and you missed it last time, you're going to tune in this time. I think you retained pretty much everybody you had from week one. So we'll see. Well, on the note of the AEW NXT wars, as Jericho has said here on the Rich Eisen show, it seems like we've seen our first casualties of the Wednesday night war, because Jericho was on the Rich Eisen show with Kevin Smith. And Kevin Smith is asked about his appearance on AEW Dynamite. And here's a little snippet of what Kevin had to say about his appearance. He said, "Chris invited us to be involved with the debut match on TNT. We were supposed to go do WWE, me and Jay, the very next day, which was Friday. It was a Friday SmackDown? Who knows? I'm probably high." He doesn't say that, but, you know, it's Kevin Smith. Anyway, and then he says, "The morning after, because we were on the AEW show, it trended. Like, there was a lot of coverage and stuff. So the next morning, we were told that WWE was like, you can't come anymore, and they canceled us. They kicked me and Jay off the show, but not in any kind of crazy way. But, man, just because of appearing on Dynamite, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes, I would imagine they were going to be on that blue carpet on that SmackDown show, but they get the axe, man. I don't know if I'm WWE, I don't know that these are the kinds of fights I want to be picking regarding this Wednesday night war. Be nice to AEW in a press release, but be a dick to award-winning director Kevin Smith. I don't get the logic in that. It's very weird to me.
That's just what I was going to say. Like we were saying earlier, like we need them to be a little bit more ballsy on the air, but behind the scenes they're pushing people. Like, yeah, I mean, just go out on the air. Just have Vince and Stephanie come out, and when they get ready to introduce SmackDown, before they toss to the new intro, have Vince go, "Oh, and by the way, Jay and Silent Bob, you're fired." just throw the shot out in public, all right?
Yeah, lean in. This I really want to know what the logic is behind. Maybe this is like, hey, if we wait till it to build up and people wonder how long until we start shooting off, you know, shots and things like that, maybe we'll build some anticipation for it. But I'm baffled by this one. This just seems done. And on the note here, I meant to bring this up. So after AEW last night, I went over to Twitter. And I have changed my trending setting to worldwide, so now I can see the worldwide trends. Of the top 30 trends worldwide on Twitter last night, AEW TNT was number one after the show. Then there was like Jericho was 4, Private Party was like 17, Young Bucks were in there. There was like 4 top trending worldwide trends on Twitter after the show. You know how many were NXT related?
None.
0. None. Right? So, I don't know. Again, I'm optimistic on AEW's chances this week.
Well, it's kind of impressive, too, with AEW, because I feel like AEW, I feel like there's too many hashtags flying around. I see there's, you know, hashtag AEW Dynamite, there's hashtag AEW on TNT, the hashtag AEW Boston, there's, you know, the hashtag Inner Circle as soon as Jericho announced that. There's hashtags flying everywhere with I didn't know which one I was supposed to, like, at least with Raw and SmackDown and whatever, like, I know, like, what the standard hashtag is for the show itself, you know. So I'm surprised. So looks like everybody's using every hashtag for AEW, and it worked.
Yeah, it is true. And, you know, I like Inner Circle. That was another one that was trending. I like that name. It's going to be their NWO, it would seem like. I bet you're going to see people go in and out of the Inner Circle. But did you see the shirt, the Inner Circle shirt? Did you catch it in the main event?
I did not.
Oh, it's a look. Okay. So a lot of people over the years, the lore of the conspiracies around the New World Order and the Illuminati and all that stuff. If Chris Jericho could not have leaned in any harder with the shirt that he's got on, it's the like pyramid. It looks like if you've ever had like an AA, if you've ever seen like an AA coin, you know, with the pyramid in the middle with the eye on top and all that, That's pretty much the logo for the Inner Circle. It's very.
I'll look it up. I'll tell you what. I can't help though. And you're right. It'll probably be like that'll probably be like their NWO, like your guys going in and out of the faction. I can't help it now. Whenever I'm going to think about that, of who's in the Inner Circle, who's out, I can't help but think of like the Circle of Trust and Robert De Niro from the Meet the Parents franchise, right. Just making the hole with his finger and just Greg, you're out of the Circle of Trust.
It's you know that's it. The Inner Circle. That's their NWO. That's their Bullet Club. You know. And at some point, I'm going to guess Jericho is going to be out of the Inner Circle, and it'll become somebody else's Inner Circle, you know. But yeah, I thought it was cool, and definitely leaning in on that NWO conspiracy stuff. I thought it was a nice touch when I saw that shirt. I was like, these guys are gonna have some fun with this. It'd be very different. All right, let's move over here a little bit. Friday, the WWE draft kicks off, or tomorrow is Friday. God, every day runs together now. Tomorrow the draft kicks off on SmackDown. The Observer reporting that the draft will be different from previous years. Is it's going to be run similar to the NFL draft? There'll be reps from Fox and USA that'll be announcing the picks. The idea is to make the WWE draft as authentic as possible, thanks to companies and the new deals, the new TV deals. WWE does not want authority figures involved in the programming for now. It is unknown when WWE will be bringing them back. I thought that was interesting. It's a when, not an if. And lastly here, all the major decisions with the stars and where they're going to be drafted are complete. However, WWE is keeping those moves very, very quiet. I think it is kind of cool how they're playing USA and Fox off of each other as if this is some kind of legitimate NFL-style draft. It feels like a bigger deal this year than it has in the past. I hope it doesn't fizzle out within 8 months, which is traditionally how these drafts and shakeups have gone over the years.
Yeah, I'd agree. Well, you know, they're playing to reality, which is what I've said over and over, which is Fox and USA are against each other. They, you know, they're going to want the better show. They're going to want the bigger names. So I think kind of playing into it is good. I I'm always a little cautious. The fact that, you know, if what we're reading is true, if they are going to actually have like Fox and USA execs in suits walking out there making the announcement, I always get a little weary when you have outside people that are not wrestling people on a live mic, because it's just so much open for them to mispronounce a name or just, you know, whatever, just really fumble themselves here. So hopefully they give enough direction and rehearsal for that. But yeah, I think this draft probably feels about, I think the only other draft that could top this one maybe is the very first one they ever did. You know, I mean, otherwise this is probably the biggest because of the situation and the competition.
Yes. Well, we'll see. There's your draft update. Also, a little draft teaser here. Matt Hardy posted a cryptic tweet regarding how he could possibly be moving to SmackDown. He says, as of right now, Fox TV has access to Broken Brilliance. I'm ready. And it featured a photo of him on the blue carpet. I don't really know that there's anything to this other than Matt Hardy just having fun on Twitter. But it got a lot of attention on the site. People very into that. They're not doing enough with Matt.
Matt's good at that.
Yeah, they're not doing enough with Matt. You think they're trying to? Do you think that he's getting? I mean, they weren't really doing much with him anyway. But do you think the whole Jeff thing is gonna put his chances of a regular run back even further?
No, I don't think Jeff. No, the only thing about Jeff's situation or behavior that ever affects Matt is just, you know, okay, do we think that the Hardy Boys as a tag team unit is something that we have to put on our, you know, 3 month plan to look out? But no, I think. You know, Matt's been classified as a single star for, you know, since Jeff went down with injury in the spring. So I don't think Jeff really has anything to do with Matt. This is just a case of let's see if they use Matt for the remaining time they have on his contract.
You know, and that's the thing with these hard splits between the rosters. A couple of guys are going to have to sift up here to more prominent positions. And Matt Hardy, you know, he's definitely got name cachet. He's definitely reinvented himself. He's got that cult fan base there. Maybe this shakeup here, this new draft, could be a chance to open the door and get him more in the mix. Because, you know, I don't know about world title picture, but Matt Hardy in an IC US title picture, you could have a lot of fun with that.
He could, and I mean, I think AEW is going to be Matt's biggest benefit here is in the fact that I think WWE recognizes Matt of all people on the roster they have. Matt, you know, I mean, look, Matt Hardy left WWE, you know what, a decade ago, not in the greatest place physically, mentally, or otherwise, and then got healthy there, and then reinvented himself at Ring of Honor, reinvented himself on Impact, just completely just dominated the indies for a couple of years, where he was like one of the hottest with several different gimmicks. So I think they know that Matt, you know, Matt's a guy who you got to believe the AEW bunch would grab up in a dual role of a little bit of talent, a little bit of producer, kind of like how Dustin is. So
yeah,
I think AEW is going to be the best thing for Matt in terms of if he's going to, if anything's going to force WWE's hand to use Matt Hardy more and better, this is AEW. It's going to be that.
I think his contract comes up around WrestleMania, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's the end of when their latest one comes up. So, So, food for thought. All right, lastly here, before we get to the interviews, WWE referee Rod Zapata has explained his controversial Hell in a Cell decision. He did this by releasing a statement to WWE's The Bump, their new morning show, which, from what I've seen, pretty fun show, pretty good program. His statement says, "With Bray motionless and Seth clearly doing whatever it was going to take to win that match, I had to think of the competitor's safety, and at that moment, I did what I thought was best."
I just love that. This is one of the most hated and controversial finishes WWE has ever done. Has an entire arena ready to riot.
Right.
They don't even acknowledge or speak on it the next night. Like, they barely even mention the two competitors that were involved in it. But they make the referee, they put all the heat on the referee and make him have to come out and say something. Like, what? Like, that's just a classic pro wrestling move right there.
We're sitting out here with the sheep. We came over to the pasture. We're hanging out with we're sheep farmers back in Hawaii.
You guys are hanging out with sheep right now?
Yeah, right now. If I had a camera right now, there's about 30 or maybe 40 sheep in front of us. We have a sheep pasture, and so yeah, we were feeding them, just now hanging out with them.
Do you mind if I include this in the interview? Because I think that's a nice slice of life about what it's like to be a Von Erich.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's a simple life. We enjoy it. It's cool. And it's the perfect podcast conditions, radio show conditions. It's easy to stay calm.
Well, that right there, that was, of course, Marshall was just talking. Ross is also here with him in the background. We're talking to the Von Erichs right now. They can be seen every Saturday night right now as part of MLW's Fusion. And it's a big time for you guys. I mean, it's a big time for pro wrestling, but it's a big time for the Von Erichs again in pro wrestling as well. You guys were just in Dallas about a month ago, making your debut for MLW. I mean, how was that experience? We'll start there. What was it like for you guys to go back to the hallowed grounds for the Von Erichs of Dallas and finally make your debut?
Yeah, man, it's been a wild ride. You know, we've enjoyed every minute of being with MLW so far. And then to go back to Dallas with my father, you know, and just, you know, the fans, you know, and their love and appreciation, you know, it was so cool to see that firsthand. My dad got involved a little bit, put the claw on, and man, we just had a great time. And for us too, it meant a lot because, you know, MLW coming to Dallas, it felt like there could have been pressure, but you know, we did treat it like any other show, but man, just the love in Texas was unreal. But you know, honestly, we haven't been ready for this amount of support and love that we've gotten from everywhere we've gone with MLW. It really has been just extremely encouraging and just fun.
Man, that's awesome. And by the way, I hear some wind coming through right now. I would imagine, I don't know if it's sheep farts or wind or something like that. But
yeah, that's the wind right now. We're sitting, we're about 400 feet up on this hill. We have this big valley, and we got about 30 or 40 head of sheep.
We're dealing with the windy conditions here in Hawaii. So
someone's got to do it. It's a rough life.
Oh man. Real quick, back here to the show at Dallas War Chamber. You talk about how your dad was in your corner with you guys. How was he? How was he backstage? What was it like to work with him on such a big show like this?
You know, my dad has done a lot of living and a lot of traveling and stuff, and so it's kind of cool. It's cool for, cause usually when we get back from a trip, we'll go over to his house and we'll just, talk story. We'll talk about wrestling, talk about, how our stories all kind of come together. But having him come with us, it really is. He's like, you know, he's a father, of course, but he feels like a brother too. That's what he was saying to us. He feels like he has his brother's back, cause we're sitting there, we're talking about the same things. We're laughing. And we actually brought this up the other day, but officially my dad has known us longer than his brothers, you know, and so it was I don't know, we're really, really close. But having dad in the, you know, ringside, it really was like a, you know, a seminar. I was talking to him the whole time. I was talking to him there during my match and stuff. Ross was it really was so fun, and in Texas of all places, just the love that everybody has. And and the support. It really, it's awesome.
Well, I'm from Houston originally, so I grew up like with the Von Erichs like being around me all the time. So that's why I think it's so cool I got to talk to you guys, especially with having your dad there. And, you know, was he like, did he have any notes or input or advice for you guys on working that territory or working at that kind of level before or after the match?
So, you know, my dad told us a story back when he was in he's in college, he's playing college football. You know, wrestling at that time was, you know, it was Texas wrestling, R-A-S-S-L-I-N, you know, it was getting kind of out of that era. And my dad was, you know, just getting his feet wet a little bit, but he invited his teammates to come watch a match. And the last thing he wanted was, you know, he wanted his teammates to be impressed and not talk crap to him when he comes back to practice. And so he wanted, you know, to give it everything he had. And he kind of had that mentality his entire career, where, you know, he doesn't want there to be any holes in his wrestling. He wants the, you know, Texas brawling, you know, kind of like a saloon fight, what you'd see in like in a bar or something. That's what we're kind of visualizing when we're in the ring. It's we're not trying to have an orthodox match, but it's you know, that's the style especially when he's there, we want to give him, we want to show him that, you know, high energy, 100%, laying everything in, you know, and not just fighting, you know, just because I'm a wrestler, but, you know, knowing that my last name is Von Erich, that I'm from Texas, that, the, you know, this, there was a lot, there was a, you kind of got to put your head in that state of mind that you're like representing Texas, that you're defending
Texas.
It was
healthy pressure.
It was healthy pressure. Good pressure.
Good. Okay. Yeah. And, you know, the pressure was on, obviously you guys are beloved. You're the Von Erichs in Texas and Dallas, no less here. I saw the reaction of the fans, like, rushing you guys after the show, and, I mean, you described yourself here as simple sheep farmer from Hawaii. How is it handling that kind of energy from the fans and getting that kind of love back from that many people?
Man, I wish my sheep were as cool as the fans. They definitely don't put me over.
They definitely don't show the appreciation that those fans did.
Yeah, yeah. No, but the Texas people hearing them, I guess you always have that question in your mind: is anyone going to know who I am, or are they going to like me? It's just that's I guess that's every human insecurity. But you know, your mind can go crazy, and you can stress yourself out. And so, honestly, with everything, not just wrestling, it's, you know, give it to God, go out there and do your best. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to give 100%. And that's that way I know that I did my part, and I know my brother's going to do the same thing. And it, I don't know, man, it really is. We really are just probably hear it all the time. We really are just so happy to be here.
Our whole mindset is just enjoying every moment, every minute of being on the road with my brother. You know, we get to travel and do a bunch of awesome stuff, you know, and we don't want to, you know, be so focused on the task at hand that we, you know, miss out on a lot of this cool stuff. You know?
And it's just a fun time in wrestling right now. Like today, I feel like it's one of the funnest eras in wrestling is right now. And that's cool. I really feel like MLW it has some of the highest caliber athletes in of all of wrestling. We believe it's one of the most competitive leagues in wrestling, and it's the guys they have in the locker room, the experience, and then just the brutality that guys, you know, bring with them in the ring. It really is. We wouldn't want to be with any other promotion right now. We love MLW.
You know, and it's cool because, you know, we talk about the vibrant time right now, right? Because obviously we're recording this on, by the way, the Thursday after, of course, whatever the beginning of the Wednesday Night War was last night. So everybody's buzzing. But there's a kind of, you know, what is old is new again. There's like a new school feud between you and another, not necessarily a feud, but another group of second generation talents, third generation talents in the Hart Foundation over there. Can you talk a little bit about the history between the Harts and the Von Erichs and what it's like to be working alongside them right now during this time in wrestling?
Yeah, man, there's so many beautiful things that come about with wrestling, and you know, that being able to, you know, just be in the same locker room as these guys and sit here and reminisce and have the same kind of background story. You know, it's, and when you're a kid in school, not many other kids' dads are wrestlers. And so it is interesting to see guys with a different perspective and coming up in that way. But the Hart family has a huge part with our family. I know Stu Hart, he helped train my grandfather, you know, and to know that like our grandfathers go back, and I'm sitting here and I'm, you know, there's going to be Harts and Von Erichs on a card in 2019, 2020, you know, that's powerful to us. But yeah, just the lineage in the locker room I love what MLW is doing, and just how there's no cliques in the locker room. It really is. Everyone wants to get the promotion over as much as they can. Everyone wants to see others succeed, you know, it's a really interesting time. It's a fun time in wrestling, and yeah, the talent, Teddy Hart, Harry Smith, these guys are, yeah, we hit it off with these guys great. And, you know, and I definitely hope we can work together in the future. I definitely think we will too.
Do you feel like a healthy rivalry there with the Harts? Is it kind of, I mean, now that you're in there, is it a little chest puffing or no?
Yeah, it's definitely mutual respect. They have like diehard fans that love them. And so, you know, that's going to be for us. You know, we just don't really know what to expect going into that, but I know that they're a great tag team. And so for my brother and I, we just look at it as a challenge. We get to challenge ourselves. And, you know, if there's not a lot of heat behind it, it's more lineage, Harts versus Von Erichs, that's awesome. And, you know, if you work with like the dynasty and stuff, there's going to be jabs and there's going to be insults and stuff like that. It's just working with them, or everyone has, you know, I guess different styles.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and you guys, you know, picked up a big victory here right now. You guys are really just on a hot streak. I was at the Chicago show. That's where I'm at here in Chicago. I saw the reaction you guys got when you came to Cicero Stadium here. Are you looking to roll that momentum into, do you guys want to be a tag team, or could you see yourself pursuing singles gold? What do you see as your goals here at MLW?
I don't know. For us, I think we're both leaning towards tag team. You know, it's what we always have done, and we feel really comfortable with each other, and we feel like we're better as tag teams. You know, we have strengths and weaknesses where the other ones has, you know, we make up for each other's strengths and weaknesses. So I feel like that's where our biggest future is. You know, we did a lot of singles matches and singles wrestling in Japan and all over, but yeah, I feel like our future is mostly tag team stuff. And what helps too is as kids, you know, we were always wrestling each other, and I feel like we've been a tag team for 26 years in my head. That's because we've always been together. But having your brother in the ring with you, because that's really what's, I don't know if people can tell, but that's really what's motivating me, is basically all we're trying to do is show off in front of each other, do things that we want to see the other one do. Like, I'm my brother's biggest fan. He's probably my biggest fan. It really does work out that way. We really do enjoy the other one's work. And so I just think tag team, I definitely think that's our best attribute, but also it's just a lot more fun. We love tag matches, because, you know, I'm in there with my brother, we're doing our thing. Yeah. It's what our uncles and grandfather did. This, you know, we prefer it, but if we have to do singles, you know, we definitely do what we're asked of.
Man, and you know, you talk about, you guys have wrestled all over the world, and I actually interviewed your dad, I think, a month and a half or so ago, and he talked about how he really wanted that for you guys. He wanted you to be able to work a billion different styles and work anywhere you could go and things like that. But now you're taking those styles and you're taking them to TV. What are some of the biggest things you've learned transitioning to TV, and you know, what hurdles have you had to overcome?
Man, you know, there's been a, you know, a lot of changes. In Japan, we got to work a lot on TV, but it was the crowd. I mean, as you know, the crowds are different. Yeah, very different. And but, you know, we weren't ready for this much support with MLW. We kind of thought we were going to be, you know, maybe start off first, second match, and people not really know who we were. But the fact that people do believe in us and people are behind us, it's been so motivating. And said it before, but we just want to prove MLW right. We want to prove everybody right. And we've learned so much just from talking to the guys in the locker room after our matches, you know, getting to talk to Cornette and you know, Low Key, and they've helped us a ton. We definitely have more room to grow.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about how you guys are growing in this like really crazy time right now, because, you know, we say Wednesday Night War, but I feel like that's too specific, because it's more just like a war right now, because you got MLW, you got Impact Wrestling, New Japan, Ring of Honor. You know, there's six or seven big promotions at the moment. What do you guys think that it is that makes MLW stand out from the competition and brings fresh eyeballs to the product?
Yeah, I just think it's the caliber of talent we have, and not only that, but just the style that we do. You know, I think they call it fusion. You know, it's a fusion of all different kinds of wrestling. We got the luchadors. You know, we got the old school style. We got the high impact, the technical wrestling. You know, high flying stuff. You know, so I think there's a wealth to choose from. You know, and so I think that's really what separates MLW.
And in MLW, it didn't seem like they're trying to they're not trying to step on anybody's toes or really compete with anybody. They're kind of their own product, and that's one thing that we liked about them. They have a really loyal fan base. There's like diehard MLW or MLW fans, and I know it's just really cool, and it kind of reminds me of ECW back in the day a little bit with how Court is. That guy Court, he really is. He's a mastermind when it comes to wrestling.
Yeah, well, a lot of people have said that. And it was cool, you know, the time I was talking to, talked to a lot of the MLW folks. I was talking to Court not long ago, and I asked him if, the announcement of you joining MLW was tied to, of course, the buzz that came off of the Dark Side of the Ring episode, the Last of the Von Erichs. And it sounds like you guys had been talking before that episode had dropped, and that he didn't really even know about that. Is that true, first of all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it seemed like the timing was just like that, you know. And we actually had quite a few, people reach out to us right after that time, But we had been in talks with MLW, I think, for at least 6 months to a year before that.
Wow.
Off and on, So it was just cool, the timing and how everything worked out, ended up debuting on my birthday in Milwaukee out there. So it was like, I just felt like the stars were kind of aligned. And so,
yeah, that's awesome.
It was just a really cool thing.
And so for you guys, this episode, I've watched this episode a few times. I watched it once when I watched it originally, and then I had to show it to my girlfriend. Then I had to show it to another friend. I just thought it was a really well done piece. What was that like for you guys getting to work on that?
The Milwaukee show?
No, the Last of the Von Erichs, the Dark Side of the Ring episode.
Oh man, that was, it's definitely hard to get somebody to open up on TV like that. And those guys over at Vice, they didn't bring they didn't bring this people that worked for Vice TV. They brought guys that were genuine wrestling fans. When they came in, they definitely got my dad to. I got my dad to open up and share, and it was like 3 days of like intense, interviewing and filming. And I was there every single day, just to help out and whatever. But
man,
it was, I think that was really, it was really well done. People got to see a different side of my dad and a little bit of where my brother and I are coming from, because, when we're working on the indie scene, a lot of people are wondering why we didn't go to NXT or try out for WWE or move to the mainland and make that happen. And you only have so many days here on this earth. And we're getting to wrestle and do our dream. And it's been beautiful and awesome, but we want to enjoy this time with my dad while he's here. He's in his later years, and we all live by each other. And so, we definitely, it's awesome. Not only that, but MLW wants to incorporate my dad into it and, bring him in, brought him into the Dallas show. That was unreal for us, and just being in Dallas alone. But I definitely think that Vice, they brought the best out of it. And it was, it's just well done. Yeah. We actually watched it. We watched it two or three times, but then we've had, people reach out to us and they feel like they know my dad after that. And, man, kind of see where we're coming from. It's pretty cool,
dude. Yeah, I mean, and so you're standing there and you're watching your dad talk about this stuff. I mean, he's your dad, but I mean, were there still things that you were like hearing for the first time that surprised even you, or was this all stuff that you had already known?
It's some of it, but that's what's cool about my dad is he's a detailed storyteller, and then and my mom is actually the best, because she'll remember every detail that he said. And when he forgets details, she'll throw them back in there. And so just, when they tell a story together, it's best. But my dad, he's just a great storyteller. I like hearing the stories again, honestly. But yeah, there is every now and then we'll do something and it'll remind him of something he's never told us about. And there was actually a story where my brother and I were, I believe it was,
like 95% was Kirk and Hall. We're working in Japan, and we, before every show, my brother and I, we like to sneak off, you know, go to a roof somewhere, just get somewhere high and kind of get away from everybody, get our heads together,
yeah,
you know, somewhere where it's peaceful and quiet.
Okay.
And we got up on this roof, and we were just, yeah, it was real old, gnarly roof. And we got up there, and we saw Kevin and David, and it was like, and it was circled. But right before that, we wrote our names down, Ross and Marshall, like 30 feet away or whatever. But we wrote our names just out of boredom. And then we saw like Kevin and David, and it was just for us, it impacted us really hard, because we didn't know if we were really, you know, are we Von Erichs? Are we supposed to be doing this? Are we supposed to be wrestling? And it showed us whether we like it or not, we're Von Erichs, you know, we think like them, and it's in our blood. And that was actually the trip when we flew over there. There's the guy that worked at in Japan. He said, because my first name is actually Kevin, and Ross's first name is actually David. And so he said, I remember 20 years ago today, Kevin and David coming through this exact airport. And we were sort of laughing, and we're like, man, hey, we're Kevin and Dave. We're Kevin's sons. And the guy just started crying. It was crazy.
Wow. That's wild. Wow. The life of the Von Erichs, man. Yeah, you guys are so deep in history. And it's cool to see you running wild right now, especially in MLW. I think it's a great product. So anyway, every Saturday night, BN Sports, MLW Fusion. Is there anything you guys would like to leave the listeners with before we wrap it up here today?
We just wanted to say, everyone that's been following our journey, we love you guys. It's genuine. We appreciate everything that y'all are doing, and we're going to keep giving it everything we have. Follow us on Instagram, Ram Von Erich. You see what we're doing. We're jumping off cliffs, hanging out with sheep, just see what we're up to next.
I want to come hang out with you guys and the sheep. I really want to come hang out with you guys,
an invite, man. You come over here, and we'll hook you up.
My girlfriend's in the other room, and I'm going to go tell her that. I'm going to be like, do you want to go to Hawaii, hang out with some sheep and some, like, famous wrestling people? And she's going to really probably jump at that, you know?
I don't know if she'll argue too much with you on that.
Yeah.
We'll text her a picture of a baby sheep, and, that'll she'll buy your ticket right after that.
I think you're right. I'm going to make her pay. That's a good idea, too. She should buy the tickets. That's a good idea.
There you go.
So first off, just why I see that, you know, your schedule's starting to fill up again right now, probably more busier than you've been, you know, earlier this year. Why is it important for you to kind of get out there again and kind of be amongst the mass?
Because when I was diagnosed, I mean, I've been sick for a long time, and we didn't know what it was. And then when I got diagnosed, I became very, very afraid of what was supposed to happen next. And then I just decided that I'm not going to be that guy who just sits and takes care of myself too. You know what I mean? I want to go out there and live. I want to be an example for other people who've been diagnosed with whatever it is, their addictions, their traumas. And you can have a good quality of life if you believe in yourself. So as soon as I started to take control of that, within weeks, my schedule filled up like it hasn't in about 10 years. So I think I did the right thing, and that's why.
What does it kind of mean to you to have the wrestling community kind of embrace you and the fans embrace you and kind of they hear your story and so touched by it? I mean, I saw your video. It's just heart-wrenching for you to go through what everything you've endured and kind of make it public and just probably have people that are going through similar situations, like you mentioned, kind of be affected. Like, if he can go public with this, I can embrace this and kind of fight it head on, sort of thing.
It means everything to me, and I love it because nobody's really talking about wrestling. Everybody's coming together as a family and supporting, talking, just getting the word out there. And to me, if people are so uneducated about mental health, and that there is life after sports, there is life after this, there is life after that. So just the fact that the community is growing and working and there's a communication, to me, that's everything. So it surpassed my expectations because I do it for my therapy. But other people have kind of embraced it, and that means everything.
And, you know, you recently had a screening of Nail in the Coffin, The Fall and Rise of Vampire.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.